Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hello, I Should Be Writing listeners. This is Merle Lafferty, and I'm opening this up with a little bit of information, with a little bit of news. Because of burnout and because of finishing my latest book, I've decided to take June off of most things, including recording and podcasting. You'll be getting this in June 2022 because I recorded it in May and didn't get it up. This kind of thing led to the burnout. But haven't had a chance to talk about the fact that I will be interviewing John Scalzi about his latest book, The Kaiju Preservation Society, for our latest Spoilers Club interview, June 25th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. If you need to be reminded what the Spoilers Club is, we read the book ahead of time and then talk to the author about why they made decisions. Any topic is up for grabs. We're going to be doing it live and then placing it in the feed later. If you want to watch live and join us, that would be twitch.tv/mightymur. And again, that's June 25th, 2022, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Now let's get to our show. We are live at the beach. We are not in the dark and dank basement. We're upstairs with the pretty view of the ocean. I don't know if you can see it, but hopefully you can hear it.
Yes, it is the bright white thing behind us is the sky over the ocean.
Yes, beautiful.
I hope you can hear us, too.
I think so. People were able to hear us before.
Okay, good. Hi!
Starry Green is here. Hello? That's,
If you can hear us, say you can hear us in the chat, please. Otherwise I'll get nervous that we're, like, you know, doing the whole thing in mime.
Right. Underpope is here. I could also try to move the
sound.
The
seems
arm.
Okay. We're good.
Thank you, Hildier. Okay.
I worry. I've recorded too many podcasts where it turned out one of our mics wasn't working, and then we had to redo the whole thing, and it was very...
I just recently did a Ditch Diggers where I didn't realize I had two mics on. They couldn't hear it, but the podcast could.
Oh.
So, I sounded... Yeah.
Like you were in an echo chamber?
Pretty much. Yeah. Hey, Shards. Hey, Catwood. It is Ursula.
Again.
So, yeah, it's been a good week of writing. I've lost count.
That's good.
Actually, I can look. I have the laptop right here. 2,500 today.
Very respectable.
And then, let's see. 800 yesterday, but lots of planning.
There were note cards.
And cleaning up, and note cards. 3,000 the day before, 3,000 on the 23rd, 1,200 on the 20th. So.
Man, you are rocking and rolling.
Looks like I'm close to crossing 10,000. Not bad. But, the ergonomic thing is not good for my head, or rather, non-ergonomic thing. So I'm having to take more migraine medicine than I usually have to. So this messes with my energy and my concentration. And so I thought, since Ursula was here with me and she pulled me out of the fire yesterday, she could pull me out of the fire today.
Yes. It wasn't much of a fire. It was a stranded loon.
I went out to just check how the path was to the beach, and there's this duck-looking creature with a really sharp beak just sitting there in the middle of the path. And it was, like, gray and rainy or dismal yesterday, so nobody was there. And I was like, well, birds usually don't do that unless they're, like, nesting, and it was in the middle of the path. So it's probably injured, but I didn't like the look of the beak, so I just kind of backed off.
And rightly so, the beak was, yeah.
And, yeah, so I'm just like, but I know zilch about wildlife rescue. But luckily, I have a friend who's a birder and knows it. And have you kept track of how many turtles you rescued?
No.
You should have.
No, I mean, most of the time it's just grab them and take them across the road in the direction they were going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the burb story does have a happy ending. I'm not gonna build up any stress for you. I knew Ursula was about 45 minutes out. So if the bird was injured, it would still be injured 45 minutes out. And so luckily Ursula got there and the bird had moved. It was still looking like it was nesting, lying down, but it moved, like, up the wheelchair ramp. So I'm like, well, that's probably a good sign if it's moved that far. But it still should not be so pleasantly settled into a main thoroughfare for humans.
So common loons have their legs set really, really far back. And this makes them very strong swimmers. But it means they can't walk on land for shit. They literally have to wheelbarrow and push their chests along. And
maybe that's how it got there. I would have liked to see that. I'm sorry to say.
Well, we did see a little bit of it. It was walking towards Kevin or shoving itself towards Kevin. And it made quite a distance that way, I have to say. But they can't take off from land. They need at least a quarter mile of water, usually, to get enough of a launch. And
how did a bird like this evolve? That's what I don't get. It's like, sorry, go on.
They're not well put together. And so I saw it, knew immediately it was a loon. It was stuck. And I called Wildlife Rescue. Fortunately, there was one nearby and said, look, we got a loon. It's here. It appears to be, it's trapped in the middle of the walkway. And dude was like, yeah, it's stuck. Grab it. Watch it. Throw something. Put something over its head because the beak is nasty. And I'm like, can we just take it to the water and let it go? And he's like, yeah, take it to the sound, which is on the other side of the island because we're in the Outer Banks.
The islands here are very thin.
Yes.
So it's like, what, less than a mile?
Yeah, I think so.
The thing is, like, finding the right road to take you there.
It's densely built up for, yeah. So you have to, like, find a way to get to the sound. And so, fortunately, my husband Kevin keeps chickens and loves animals and is basically a Disney princess. And he took a beach towel, one of Murr's towels, threw it over the loon, picked the loon up, and it tried to take his eyes out because they're not kidding about the beak on a loon. It is like a dagger. And
I mean, that's what evolution did for it. It's like you can't stand or take off from land, but if anybody gets near you, you will kill them.
Pretty much. And what everyone was sending me yesterday was links to the news article about how they found a bald eagle stabbed to death with a loon beak through the heart. They can be very dangerous. I do not recommend if you find a stranded loon unless you are very strong and have multiple people and are confident of trying to wrangle it, and always throw something over the beak. But they also have very snaky necks, so it kept getting out from under the towel and then going for Kevin's eyes. But he's fought with the roosters before, so he, you know, was fine. I drove him to the sound.
This was an adventure I wanted to go on, but Gwenda Bond was in the shotgun seat, and I would have had to sit in the back with Kevin and the loon.
Man, murder bird.
And so I thought, you know what, Kevin, you get the whole back seat. You just do what you need to the back seat. I'll just sit at home and hope. So, yeah, they went off and I waited. It wasn't a long time, because the sound isn't that far away.
Yeah, we got there And Kevin, like, you know, unceremoniously flung it into the canal that is off the Sound, and it immediately was flapping its wings and taking an enormous crap and drinking a lot because it was probably very thirsty, honestly. And we did, for those concerned about avian flu, we observed strict biosecurity. Kevin got home, pulled off his boots, pulled off all of his clothes, shoved them into the washing machine, fled naked down the hall to the shower.
We were all told just to stay off the second floor.
Yeah. And immediately scrubbed everything so that there's no chance of it coming in contact with chickens, because we don't want, you know, them to pick up the avian flu either.
So we got, apparently Twitch is bleeping out the bird name wound. Like, as we say it, is it bleeping it out? Or, because it doesn't seem to be bleeping it out in text.
L-O-O-N.
Daniel wants to be a Disney princess, too. This Googled common loon feet, the foot placement is certainly questionable, yes. I do want to say quick, sorry. Quick side note, Preemie is here. Preemie won a nebula last weekend. Congratulations,
Preemie. Because Preemie is awesome.
Preemie's awesome. So everybody check out Preemie's stuff because Preemie's amazing. Congratulations. I want pictures of you with the nebula when you get it. I've heard fleeing naked is part of all health protocols. Yes. Yes.
Apparently it is also bleeping the loon word in chat. Okay, if...
Wow, I'm not getting any, like... moderator notes of someone has said something bad.
If it turns out this is an obscure slur that neither of us have heard of, well, we apologize profoundly to anyone who is offended. Please explain to us who is it's against, though, because we're confused.
No, I'm not confused. It's ableism towards mental health problems.
Okay. But the bird is a loon.
I know, the
called.
Bird is a loon.
Yes.
And, you know, a female dog is a bitch, but sometimes they don't like us saying that either. So.
Okay, that's fair.
Sometimes we don't like saying that. Yes. Might be thinking it's ableist language. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Daniel. So anyway, I didn't have a plan. Like I said, I wrote 2,500 words today. I still have a good way to go. I don't know if I'll have it in me to write after this, but... I did toss an idea at Ursula with no warning about 10 minutes ago. And she was confused, but she was game.
I try to say yes to life as much as possible. Whether that is
that
rescuing
you need to have your
dagger-faced bird or...
Yeah, your Shonda Rhimes, my year of yes, would be very different. Rescuing the dagger-faced bird, agreeing to Murr's weird ideas. We were congratulating Preemie for the nebula she won last weekend.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah, Ursula and I, it had to be at least 10 years ago by now.
Oh, God, I hope not, but maybe.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yikes.
I don't know why we thought of it, but it was when, like, people, you know, 50 Shades of Grey was big, and then all of the copycats of 50 Shades of Grey came out. And so, like, billionaire spanking you was a big thing.
Billionaire erotica, yes.
Billionaire erotica. And then people started making bank on self-pub doing billionaire were-animal erotica. Was it all
billionaires?
No,
I don't think it was billionaires.
No.
I think it was just shapeshifter erotica.
Okay, shapeshifter erotica.
Yeah.
If Shale's around, she probably knows.
And then in our moment of genius, we said, what if we combine the two?
Yes. Yes. But
genius didn't last long, though, because then we got involved.
Yeah, well, I had just... You probably, like, came out of the womb knowing all of your weird, scary animal facts. But I had just, like, learned about the horrors of the male anglerfish and... I believe the oatmeal has a very good
explainer,
illustrated explanation of why the male anglerfish is probably the unluckiest animal in the world. Fish and, like, all animals included. Like, even male praying mantises at least get to have sex.
Yes.
Does anyone...
Also, I have to say, praying mantises don't commit cannibalism as often as people think. All the observations were done on captive specimens. And if you can't get out of the aquarium, of course you'll eat you. But in the wild, the male praying mantis will go up, do the deed, and then run like hell. And frequently he gets away.
Yeah, but it's not like there wouldn't be cannibalism if she were six. I'm sorry, you made it sound like they don't always eat them, but they don't always eat them because the males get away, not because the females don't want to eat them.
Well, the jury's kind of out on a lot of the mate eating, like, spiders and things, where it's... they don't necessarily want to eat you, but then you put a foot wrong or something, or poke her in a way she doesn't like, and she's, like, immediately goes to eat you, so...
See, I told you Shale would know. There was a billionaire shapeshifter erotica streak in self-pub for a while.
All right, I knew we weren't... we were ahead of our time, but we didn't cash in on it.
Thank you, Shale. So, my thought was, if you take, like, billionaire alpha male manly spanking dude... the worst thing you could do to him was make him into an anglerfish.
Yes, because being a male anglerfish is about as far from anything alpha as could
yes.
be. And yes, we know that alpha wolves is not actually a thing. That's a complete myth. But
yes, and momentarily doesn't mean in just a second, but people change language, so...
Yes, but when we're applying the whole alpha male thing, we can't apply it to wolves, which is why people always try to apply it to wolves. It's completely false when applied to wolves.
Okay.
Alpha females now and hyenas, yes. But, like, the alpha wolf is just your dad, basically, and because they're all family pecs, and he's, like, the dad friend. And as various people have said, you know...
white knee socks, barbecues.
Fanny pack full of crackers so nobody gets hungry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so we thought about this for a while. We agreed it was brilliant. And we should do it. However, two things got in our way. One was...
our actual careers.
Our actual careers and contracts with money attached. And the fact that we're both kind of two not real porn erotica writers.
And I don't wish to conflate porn and erotica because they are two different things. But yes, we're, writing sex scenes is very hard for me. I giggle a lot.
Yeah. And then co-writing sounds like just so much worse.
Nightmarish. Yeah.
So, our fun wear anglerfish erotica slash porn, perhaps, we decided if we were actually going to do it, it should be a rom-com.
Yes.
We still have billionaire dude bitten by an anglerfish, but...
And then Murr came up with a brilliant, like, villain and plot device.
Yes, I really love our villain. Our villain is female where anglerfish, of course. She owns an offshore casino, so she bit him. And now she's just waiting for him on the next full moon because he will turn into an anglerfish and feel her call and be desperate to get to her. So, we have, Dave, I don't know if I can summon evil Murr. I guess I can. I don't have the tech or the mustaches.
Also, it should be pointed out that for what we're doing, I don't know if non-evil Murr is going to be much different. Can evil Murr be any more different?
If evil Murr were working on this this book, she would probably try to push it more towards the erotica slash porn option, but and more spanking, probably some spanking, but more than we were planning on putting in. We had not actually discussed how much spanking.
Well, because, see, I wanted the heroine to be something... It had to be something aquatic.
Yeah, we haven't talked about her yet.
Yes, obviously we have to have since we have a whole aquatic theme going. And she would also be a shapeshifter, because she's, you know, tied up in this whole mess. And I believe our original meet cute idea was that they were at a support group for shapeshifters.
And the non-sexy shapeshifters, okay?
Yeah.
No one wants to hang out with the werepig. You know, it's in nobody thinks the were-angler fish is sexy, and, you know.
Yeah. And I thought what would be the silliest thing that also, you know, would be vaguely hilarious, and I thought that our heroine had to be a were sperm whale.
And, okay, so I was right. It was sperm whale.
Yeah, sperm whale. Yeah.
Okay.
And partly because, you know, if you're going for erotica, you can make all kinds of sperm jokes. But how do you get bit by a sperm whale and survive is, of course, the critical question. And she doesn't. She has a she's an archaeologist, and she is handling a I believe an artifact that's a knife or something made with a sperm whale tooth, and accidentally cuts herself. And it transmits the ancient sperm whale infection.
I forgot that part.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So,
but she's pretty lonely. I bet she wants to bite other people just to not be...
Well, it's really awkward because, you know, you have to be either at the beach on the full moon or really hope like hell you're somewhere with a big swimming pool.
Yes. See, preemie's being smart, and I don't know what that word means.
I can look it up. Antechinus?
Okay, so you don't know either. Okay, good.
No.
Preemie says it's funny how you never see Antechinus.
Oh, wait, do you mean giant squid?
Ah! I guess no one wants to read books that always end in a horrible tragedy. Well, many people do. They're called literary readers.
Oh, no, that's Arthotectris. You're thinking small mouse-like marsupial mice. Well, that's kind of adorable.
Why would they not have shifter fiction?
I'm sure they would, but nobody's like, nobody finds that, like, sexy.
Well, they're gonna be in the support group.
Yes, absolutely. They would totally be. And the were-emu, mm-hmm. and the, you know.
And the border collie, and the spider.
Yeah.
And then, this is another thing that got in our way. We were both just more interested in writing about the support group than the actual romance we had come up with.
Yeah.
Because immediately Ursula got much more interested in the border collie who ran the meeting, of course.
Well, I didn't want to write his romance because it's very hard to, you know. That's you have to be a special sort of person to live with a border collie. But no, sperm whales do not have baleen. Sperm whales are toothed whales. So, yeah, they have the, like Moby Dick, big, pointy, sharp teeth. Humpback whales have baleen.
Okay, but what if necromantic, I can't say that, shifter wrong, what if, you know, Christian writing, you are free to write it.
Yes. We encourage you to write your uncharismatic mammal shapeshifter book.
Yes, so I was figuring we needed to talk about this because, I mean, we're both trying to finish a book this week, and the best way to finish a book is to think about another book. Yes.
I okay. Yes. I think it's more like to have a deadline you should be working on gets you to work on the other book. But yes, okay, so we were going to brainstorm some of the plot.
Yes, we were. Preemie's pointing out they seem adorable, but they boink themselves to death. That's another evolutionary roadblock, I would think.
Oh, are those the mice that
boink themselves to death?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes, that is a problem. You know, a couple weasel species do that.
Okay.
The females go into heat, and if they don't get pregnant, they basically stay in heat forever and eventually, like, succumb to mass organ failure. It was just a miserable way to go.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway.
Okay, everyone's talking about the worst animals in the world to try to be.
Amoeba shifter fiction? Yeah, gonna... Okay, Where Octopus, I think, has been done. There is a cuttlefish erotica book out there, which I have not purchased, but I read the reviews saying that it was not enough cuttlefish. It was just an excuse for a big gay orgy in the water, and that was fine, but it needed more cuttlefish action. I believe it was called Someone to Cuddle. Yeah.
I'm putting my pun response in the chat.
That was not my pun.
I know. I still
observing.
Have to object to it.
Okay. So,
plot,
yes. Well, we had the billionaire has come to the meeting.
Yes.
And you had said something about the discovery that the sperm whale would be living next door, upstairs in the apartment.
Yeah, we were both confused in that because I pictured her staying in the same building as him, and that way she would have to be wealthy. We can add conflict if she has the penthouse.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants the penthouse because he is alpha spanking billionaire male.
Well, what if he's trying to be incognito, so he keeps this apartment for the full moon? This is his full moon apartment where he goes to, and so it's in the slightly divier part of town, and our archaeologist, not that, you know... there's an amazing salary for archaeologists, but possibly she's...
She drives Uber on the side.
I was thinking that, you know, she could own the building.
Oh, that's better, yeah.
Yeah, she inherited the building, and that's why... or she's staying there as the caretaker for a relative who owns the building, and he's being obnoxious and trying to knock out... walls in order to put up his aquarium so that he can survive the full
moon.
When
he doesn't need a huge aquarium.
He doesn't. He just
does
wants
not.
One with a little castle and a little scuba diver with bubbles coming up.
Wow. Yes. Yes. He does need all of that. And so there's the rom-com conflict there. But then there's also the woman offshore who must have reasons to come ashore because she wants to entice him.
Well, he's a billionaire. Once she gets him under her thumb, he will. She would have sought him out specifically to bite, so that she can get the $1 billion to revitalize her failing offshore casino.
Mm.
Or perhaps she's in the hawk to the mob, and she needs the money to pay them off.
Where female anglerfish have a failing casino. I don't see that happening.
I mean, economic downturns happen to us all.
Yes.
Like...
I don't know. I kind of just see her being rather, like...
Maybe there was a natural disaster that hit it, and she's like...
Oh, okay.
Like a hurricane came up, and there's been a lot of damage, and she's like, I need money.
Mm.
I need an influx of cash now.
Okay.
Where do I get it?
Okay.
And she's like, I'm gonna get a billionaire.
Go get me a billionaire.
Yes.
And so she's just gonna...
She just, like, lies in wait.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can do this one of two ways. Either she attempts to seduce him in his sex dungeon and bites him in the middle of it, or she can just, like, lie in wait in an elevator so they'll be like, excuse me, and then... chomp him.
So here's a thing that I've always I will admit I have not read a lot of were fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So where do people stand on the if the human bites you it still gets transmitted? Is that like a common thing? Is that a either or? Well, not an either or. I think everybody agrees when the animal bites you, you become the animal. But because I'm trying to picture, like, the evil werefingler female anglerfish just kind of flopping on the ground.
Oh, no, no.
Not very mighty in out of her native
habitat. Well, there's the,
Yeah, beach Wi-Fi is bad. I'm sorry, guys. It's probably on my end.
If you go with the one where it's, okay, can you get, let's say, lycanthropy from a blood transfusion?
Oh.
Because if you can get it from a blood transfusion, then you should be able to get it any time. Because then it's just your fluid, then it's just, you know, exchange of bodily fluids into the bloodstream. But if
yeah, what does happen to your... I don't know. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, she could just, if she is with the mob, or, you know, she could just have two enforcers who, like, maybe he's at the casino or something, and she's like, hot damn, and maybe she throws a big party just to invite wealthy investors so that she can bite a bunch of them, so they're getting them drunk, and her two thugs are taking them into the back and sticking, you know, here, stick your hand in with the fish.
Oh, yes, it's a manly test.
Yes, and they're like, he's like, I don't know. Yeah, prove it. Prove your.
Mm-hmm. So, I thought of a twist, which just ruined it to everybody, but she's bitten more than one.
Yes.
And he doesn't know this.
Yes.
And there's a slightly tiny bit of him that's hurt that he was not the only one she bit. But that's possibly from...
But that will give us a good save if when, at some point, you know, halfway through or whatever, when he is trying to go it alone and is surrounded by, you know, enemy mobsters working for her, and he's like, oh god, I am so screwed, and then suddenly the guy with the harpoon gun in the scuba gear... drops in and is like, you know, get on the jet ski. Who are you?
Mm-hmm. I'm
another one of the victims.
Yeah.
He's like, she bit you too? And then he's comparing himself to the guy with the harpoon who is like, you know.
See, now I want this to be a gay rom-com between the guy with the harpoon gun and our billionaire.
I mean, we could just, like, cut the
sperm whale
entirely, I guess.
I don't know. We can discuss this. But yes, my shirt is I bought it after I saw the episode of The Good Place where Chidi embraces nihilism and he is walking through an area and all the sprinklers turn on and soak him, and so all he does is he takes his sweater and shirt off and drops it and leaves it. And as Eleanor calls him in season one, he is surprisingly jacked, and then he just goes to the grocery store and is buying like all the candy he can find, and the woman's like, sir, you can't be shirtless here. And he's like, oh. And he looks over at this rack of tacky t-shirts, and he grabs the first one he can find, and he pulls it over his head, and it's this one. It's, like, super tight because it's not his size. And he's like... And after I saw that episode, I'm like, yeah, I need Chidi's nihilism shirt. Oh, he's a billionaire who likes to go roughing it in the mere millionaire district.
Oh, good heavens.
Yes. Hello, someone to be welcome. Yes, the Wi-Fi is not strong here. We apologize. We are currently trying to plot out our Where Anglerfish rom-com, because Dangerous Valley wants to see your tattoos closer.
Oh, my tattoo?
Yes, yours.
Oh, yeah. This is a somewhat blurry now Celtic knotwork. That is the word I'm after. It's been on my body for more than half my life, it's easy to forget. It is a dog that is Celtic knotwork. This is a salmon and a kingfisher in the Tlingit style, and from the Pacific Northwest, which is where I grew up. My stepdad was on the Native American Arts Council there, and so that is... very much the art style I am printed on in my youth. My stepdad, Seneca, was Seneca. I mean, well, he still is. He's just dead. I don't quite know how that works with past tenses.
Off topic and awkward real fast. Tell us about your other tattoos.
You've got one there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, this is another one. Yeah, wombat, same style. And they are, while they have deep meaning for me, they are deliberately meaningless in Tlingit culture because I didn't want to appropriate anything. They're tourist art kind of things because I didn't want to appropriate anyone's myths, but I am okay with the sort of thing you put on packages of smoked salmon.
Mm.
Yeah, so they are entirely commercial art kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Delicious.
Yes. And yes, casinos attract patrons with shiny lights. They totally make sense for an anglerfish. No, it was brilliant of Merck to have the offshore casino thing.
So the problem here is that I know very little about the mob except for when they move their entire family to the North Carolina mountains and build up a lot of businesses there after their lives of crime.
That was oddly specific.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Okay.
You don't know my mob story?
Hasn't really come. Well, maybe it hasn't come up. I don't know. Or maybe I was drunk when you told me.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe I'm just forgetful.
I can tell you later. I usually tell it at cons, I guess. That's my accidental worried I got my old boss killed because they moved in. They had worked with police, done the thing, and then moved from New Jersey.
Protection.
No, okay. Because we knew they were who they were. And they moved to my hometown, and my father was the only one who supported them on something they brought to town council. And so, suddenly we have friends of the family
as it were.
And they had a lovely Italian restaurant that was very tasty. And I went there a lot, and then on my last day of work nearby, I don't even want to talk about it, because it's one of those things where not one of the things he said was overly bad. It was one of those conversations where I could not point to any one thing, but I basically left in tears. It was just, he was trying to be kind, but sort of insult my family while telling me how happy he was that I would be coming back up to my little hometown to set everybody right because my family was awful. And so basically I just showed up at their restaurant before hours. You know, they knew me, and I came in and I'm in tears, and the matriarch of the family sits me down. I was a smoker at the time. Sits me down, hands me a Lucky. Luckies are not filtered and they're this long. She hands me a Lucky, she lights it, she hands it to me, and she's like, "Honey, who has hurt you?" And I'm like, "Oh God, she's gonna kill Bob." I'm like, just bad last day at work. That's all, Mrs. A, thank you. You're very sweet. I'm okay. Best cigarette I've ever had." So yeah, that's
awesome.
That's what I know about the mom. They were always very kind to my family.
I think we can sort of make up a mob in this case. We're playing fast and loose with a number of things, so I don't think that...
But you know, there's something you can't play fast and loose with. I've been making up all sorts of shit all day, but when it came to wondering if someone in 2046 would have nicotine-stained teeth, I was stymied. I didn't know.
No, surely they'd have fixed that by now.
Yeah, that's what the thinking was. They're probably still cigarettes, but the whole, teeth whitening thing.
It's probably, they can do it with, a cheat, kind of, little laser thing.
Yeah. So, it was, I was really worried, just, throwing all sorts of alien tech everywhere. But when it came to the nicotine-stained teeth, I was worried about authenticity.
It's the usual thing, when I'm writing a fantasy novel, we have gods, we have, demons, we have strange monsters, but I will stop and look up what year the combine harvester was invented so that I am not having it too early in technology. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a question, can you cure lycanthropy if you lose enough blood and then get a transfusion of non-lycanthropic blood?
No, because I think your bone marrow is werewolf.
Yes, Framie. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think your bone marrow is pumping out more stuff, so you would actually need like a... I think if you were a werewolf who got severe leukemia and got a bone marrow transplant, that might cure it. I would be willing to say that would cure it, but I think if you have working bone marrow, it just keeps kicking out.
You know, we have to have a former cancer patient visit the support group.
Oh, and be like, yeah, it's different now.
Mm-hmm.
What if they miss it?
Yeah.
It'd be like, I need someone to bite me.
I used to have so much fun with my friends on the full moon, and no one comes around anymore.
Yeah. As plot goes, we have our billionaire who comes to the support group. Our were sperm whale, who can be male or female, it's fine.
Love triangle with the harpoon guy.
Exactly. They immediately dislike one another, I suppose. And then it turns out that the... And the billionaire's manservant is the one his Alfred is taking care of him while he is a were-anglerfish.
Mm-hmm.
So he's setting up the aquarium and everything.
Has to figure out where to get Wagyu fish flakes.
Exactly. And he arranged all of the... he arranged hiring the beach house, so the billionaire doesn't know who actually is the caretaker of it.
Mm.
And they're at the beach house, and he is annoyed because... Or a set of apartments, let's say, and condos. And he's annoyed that the person in the penthouse, that he couldn't get the penthouse suite. And the... Alfred is assuring him that this was the only thing that was available on such short notice, because the only way he survived last time was because, the last full moon when he discovered he was a were-anglerfish was because he was hastily thrown into a bucket with salt water, and Alfred broke into a aquarium store, you know. No, it couldn't just be a pet store, because saltwater fish tanks are hardcore.
Mm, yes, so, they are. True.
Yeah, so he's, like, being driven around with in a bucket with sea salt flakes dissolved in it, you know, sort of gasping, and Alfred heroically busts into the aquarium supply thing, sees a tank... dumps his boss into it, and then spends the rest of the night trying to keep the lionfish away from his boss with a net, with a little tiny aquarium net.
And I don't, you know, Alfred would try to stop this, but we have to have the scene, the Daryl Hannah wet and naked on the floor. It's in the Slash movie. We have to have that scene the next day when the full moon is gone and our billionaire's naked in the aquarium store.
Yes. And it is an emergency. I can only get this house, like, because the full moon lasts 3 nights, right? So it's like, this is the only place that is available. He runs in, they bought up everything in the aquarium store. Alfred is hastily assembling it, and the were sperm whale comes down, is like, what is going on in here? Why is there no water pressure? Because he's filling the tank with, you know, 100 gallons of water, and is like, okay, you can't have fish tanks or water beds. It's in the rules. If they break, it causes damage to the floors. And, yeah. And so then, and he's like, Alfred, pay the woman. And she's like, okay, the money is not, but, and is immediately angry that he's trying to just pay her off mm-hmm. As if she is a peon mm-hmm. and, or he is a peon, depending on whatever. And then, yes, once he's survived the full moon, and she can't do anything during the full moon because she's out at sea.
Yeah. That's true.
And they come back, and perhaps, he is down on the beach staring out at the water at the tantalizing casino there. Mm-hmm. And again, much like Daryl Hannah, only less so, the sperm whale woman comes out of the water and he's like, and
nice.
Yeah.
End of chapter one, or first booklet, if we're going Dickens style.
Yeah, and then she's like, I don't want to talk about it. And
I'm also thinking we need to get, like, a... when whoever her trusted human is, like, during the full moon, when their masters are off being wet, Alfred and whoever her person is realize that they can go have a cup of coffee.
Oh, that's got to be the chatty best friend who's like she's got the sassy best friend. We're not going to have her have either a sassy black friend or a sassy gay friend because that is wrong. But so the probably like extremely reliable but extremely cynical Daria Goth type.
Mm. Very unlike Alfred, but they get along because they are the secret holders. Primalina wants to know, have we discussed how anglerfish mate? We have not. The whole knowledge of how anglerfish mate has been kind of what this whole thing is built around. So we haven't discussed it, but...
Look it up on the oatmeal.
Yeah, look at the oatmeal, and it's beautifully-ish illustrated and explained, and it was that made me think maybe that... putting a very strong billionaire spanking guy into the position of male anglerfish would be the ultimate comeuppance. So we've got one thing I don't get. Where do these people live normally? Because we're talking about the beach. They live at the beach? They live near? Are they like in a Manio situation? Or
Well, she has to... wherever she was living before, she now basically lives at the beach because caretaking her relative's beach condo thing. She's like the living caretaker now because she can't... she has to live near deep water because she's a sperm whale.
So,
Why does the billionaire live normally?
Yeah, well, actually, my real question is, where is the support group?
Oh.
Is it at the beach? I think it's probably at the beach.
Could be at the beach.
Yeah. There's probably a wildlife refuge or something that's good to go hang out in.
Yeah, and you figure that beach towns, with the tourists and whatnot, probably have... in addition to the usual problems of tourists being terrible, have where tourists be, you know.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry, guys. Okay, Kimmy says, no, it's skipping so badly. No idea how we went from mob threats to the history of the Combines.
Maybe we should quit while we're ahead.
Maybe. But, yeah, sorry for the choppy stream and the non-focused kind of situation, but Ursula and I have been very productive in writing and stuff. And so,
also, this is usually how brainstorming goes, is, you know, figure this thing out, okay, figure this other thing out. And so if he is rescued by Harpoon Guy on the jet ski, he's like, and obviously, the sperm whale lady's like, wow, he's hot, and also not an obnoxious billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And were-billionaire is like, oh man, he's like super ripped and shit. Why would anyone want me when they're super harpoon guy? What do I have but my fabulous wealth? And I used to be confident, but now I'm an angler. But wait, he's an anglerfish too, and he's still confident. Man, The were-angler fish didn't even want me. This, yeah, he has a big crisis of faith.
Oh my god.
In his own hotness.
Oh boy. Wow. And, you know, was he ever good at spanking?
The scene just cuts to him sitting in his sex dungeon in the corner weeping.
Holding his paddle, wondering if anybody ever cared, or they were just placating him.
Yeah.
And he was paddling them well.
And they were only in love with his billionaire, with his billions, not, you know, with him as a person.
Yes. So, I don't even know if there's bad lag. So, I think we're going to raid DM Jazzy Hands, because I like to do that. But I need someone to bite me, as a good Ursula sentence said. I think we got some serious lag.
I'm thinking that's what I'm... That you're right,
so,
yes.
So... Yeah, that's not working. I'm not sure whether to raid DM Jazzy Hands or just end the stream.
I think probably end the stream.
Because we're pretty much done.
Yeah.
Okay, well hopefully they'll see the chat, even if they don't see the video.
Here's hoping.
But yeah, thank you for being on the show, Ursula.
Of course! I was 6 feet away.
Yes, you were. And I still think we need to do like little chat books. Because I really, really want to write the one that's the support group for all of the friends.
Oh, friends of where?
Like, basically, yeah. the sidekick episode of The Tick.
Oh, yeah,
The sidekicks, they've got the big hero lounge, but the sidekicks have to go to the shed in the back. Kind of thing.
The Wolverine, where Wolverine guy comes in just, you know, wearing Kevlar and or one of those big bite suits that they train the dogs on and just like...
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So we got a plan. Now we just need to like write it. That's step two.
Yes.
Step three is profit. If you can get step two, that would be the amazing thing.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being able to see whatever you could. Thank you, Ursula. I'm Mer Lafferty. This is I Should Be Writing-ish. You can find me at merverse.com. And where can we find you?
Oh, I am Ursula Vernon, a.k.a. T. Kingfisher. You can find me online on Twitter as Ursula V or at Red Wombat Studio.
Oh, yeah. And you, I have a novella out today.
Yes.
Which is, I forgot about. If you are an Audible member, you can get The Ophelia Project. No, The Ophelia Network. I keep mixing up network and project. I don't know why. It is a network. The Ophelia Network. It is Blue's Clues meets 1984, where a band of rebels use a children's television show to fight fascism. And, yeah, it's out on Audible today. So, I don't even know if anyone's hearing this. I should probably put it in the chat, too. But, yes. Okay.
Some people are at least hearing some.
Yes.
Thank you for bearing with us through this extremely lagification thingy.
Yes, thank you. And I don't think I'm going to stream next week. I think I need a break from everything. Especially if I finish this book, I'm just going to need to, like, lay flat, so... I might stream some games, but I do not have a schedule or anything. So, the beach weather has improved greatly, kids are asleep. You can't see it because it's, like, super bright out there and not bright in here, but besides the fact that we woke up to fog that was thick on a dangerous level, it is all burned off and it's glorious out there. So, if I can get some more words done, maybe I'll reward myself. But, transcribe the book. It's an instant class. Unfortunately, Jasmine, I can't sell it either.
self-pub or to anybody else until for a week, for a year. So come next year, I'll probably self-pub it. But yeah, thank you, Ursula. Thank you, everybody watching. And oh, it's okay. Kids are asleep. Thank you. And well, see you guys. I'll be online. I'll be on the Discord. You'll find me. I'm not like going away away. I'm just taking a break. So, okay, they're not that laggy, it looks like. That's good, because I felt like we were, like, 15 minutes ahead or something. Anyway, I will raid DM Jazzy Hands, because I like DM Jazzy Hands anyway. Except I can't spell. At home, I just have a button.
Ah.
One button. So thank you, guys, and thank you, Ursula, and next stream, whenever it will not be this laggy. Kick in the Pants workshop is on for tomorrow for, if you are a supporter of the Patreon. The prop should have already gone out. Tell Ursula I found Combo's 7-layer dip that she said was only the flavor she liked.
Yes, it's the good one.
Thank you guys for coming by, Preemie. And congratulations again. Very happy for you. Oh, thank you, kids
awesome.
Are asleep. Yes, there is the link to the Ophelia Network. If you get it, I hope you like it. I'm nervous. It's like the first original thing I've put out in quite some time. So, anyway. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor Who.